Welcome to Sartastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. This podcast is dedicated to Fraser Mendonca, who left Denver and Leti in September 2023 before their October road trip to Northern BC and the Yukon.
This episode has three languages coming up. There's one line in French, en français. There's one dialogue in Finnish. And then there's this backdrop in English. The scene is set in 1965, so the original dialogue is in 1965. That's paraphrased in Finnish. So what to expect in this episode are three parts. Scene three wraps up with the dialogue, and then the second part is is just this piece where your host is explaining a couple of things. And then there's a third part, which is this segment, this piece that I'm talking about right now. So the croaking happens in between. And that song is actually a translation of an English song. I will not reveal it. You will hear Susi Petonen and Professor Scamander keep traveling back and forth in time. There's a historical setup that goes way back to, I think it goes to 738 BC. But coming back to the song, the reason Susi Petonen hears this in the background when she's listening to the dialogue and when she's in 1965, she suddenly hears
Kuinka siis voit edes väittää?
And she's like, why is a 1975 song playing in 1965? And then she realizes that, oh shucks, she had heard it in 1975 when it was released by Hector, but his full name is Heikki Veikko Harma. He was born in 1947 in Helsinki, Finland, and his debut album was in 1965, which is why there is this relevance. So it's a 1975 song, but the debut album of the singer was released in 1965. But the link to 1965 is because Susi Petonen and Professor Scamander go back in time to 1965 to listen to the Chief Healer. And the whole scene ends with one question, which Susi Petonen doesn't extend. When she actually asks the question, you will feel like something is missing, but the missing piece to that question is where I wanted to cut it off, because the question is about the healer, but it is related to Hogwarts. So there are certain characters that come into play, like 1555. If you know, there was a character who died in 1555 who plays a very critical role because she creates the gateway between the muggle world and the wizarding world. And then that's the reason this whole 500 thing, the Merrimetso, the cormorant, dives in deep to get the Chief Healer. I will not reveal the plot right now because scene three is going to come up. The question that she wants to ask is, how does the Merrimetso know it's time to go get the Chief Healer? Who figured out that piece? And that's the history with Korkea Torni. If you know Finnish, you know what I just said. But Korkea Torni is where the mystery is. And that place is where the whole thing will play out in scene four or scene five. I don't know which one. Enough said.
Scene three. 21st of August, 1965. Somewhere in Swatesea.
Why are we here again, Professor? We all know the Chief Healer's message. It always surprised me that only the muggles can't seem to see that. I wonder what's stuck in their brain that prevents them from understanding this simple fact. It's in plain sight, and it's not a new message.
Ouroboros.
What?
Ouroboros.
What has that got to do with your pet Acme? Please tell me, why are we here again? I find Swatesea quite boring. It's got like just two major banks, and they keep fighting for survival when everybody knows who's the clear winner. I never actually quite understood why the muggles spent more time depositing Turhau in Surunjoki than Arkus in Ilonjoki. Everybody in our world knows that it's stupidity to try to control a demiguise. And who in their right mind deposits Turhau? Like, why do you even want to increase the credits of the Surunjoki Bank? I don't know. Shh. What?
Timothy and Dougal are here.
What are they doing here? And what are we doing here? Why are we back in 1965?
Susi, my dear, please pay attention to what the Chief Healer is telling the Chief Receiver while I go after Timothy and Dougal.
Professor Abbott, Are you here?
Yes.
I need to relay the message to you. So could you hear me say the words and then translate it for Professor Scamander? Because he's out chasing Timothy and Dougal. I don't even know why. Do you know that?
I wouldn't have a clue.
Okay, you're lying to me, aren't you?
Aranya, pay attention. Let's start translating, please.
Why won't anybody tell me? I freaking wrote a textbook on Akamis and Thestrals. Now, we are here in 1965, chasing Ouroboros, Professor Scamander's pet Akami. And what has he got to do with all of this? And why do we need to listen to the Chief Healer's message again? I guess nobody's going to tell me, right? Not at least not now. I don't know why the Chief Healer keeps talking in different languages. I don't even have an elementary level of proficiency in Finnish. And you expect me to understand what he's saying?
Yes, yes, my dear. Can you start? Because we will miss the main message.
All right. Okay.
Kuinkasis voit edes vaittaa?
Haluamme ymmärtää meilun mekanismin. Did you get that, Dr. Rabbit?
Yes, go ahead, Aranya.
Okay. Kuinka sammuttaa meilu menettämättä ajatuksen toimintaa? Kuinka lisätä signaalikohinaa suhdetta?
Mutta kuinka saat toimimaan ilman kytkä? Aaltofunktion romataminen on vaistamatonta, koska kytkä on vaistamatonta. Ja sitten romatuspisteet ovat tarkastelupisteitä.
Aaltofunktion? Why are they talking about the collapse of the wave function? Didn't we cover that already? All right, let me just keep listening.
Milloin näemme jatkuvan tarkkuuden ja hallinnan kamppailumme turhan?
Mitä enemmän jatamme sitä enemmän se karkaa meitä. Herran Jumala!
The more we chase it, the more it eludes us.
Dr. Abbott, are they trying to control the demiguys? Only a fool tries to control a demiguys.
Aranya.
Yes, Dr. Abbott.
All will be revealed by Professor Scamander. It's not my place to tell you this. By your own admission, you said it's in plain sight. What you don't know is what's stuck in the Muggle brain. That's the key. And I think then you will probably understand.
All right. Herra, miksi ajatus on turhautunut? Parce de pass sa fonction. Sessa, sen taka ajo on loputon. Ja se syvettä itsensä. Tämän toiston myötä tulee surun joon tulva ja ilon joki kuivuu. Oh, so that's why Professor Scamander is trying to get hold of his Niffler Timothy? Is he behind the heist? Dr. Abbott, I have so many questions and Professor Scamander is missing. Now was not a good time to chase Timothy and Dougal, but I kind of see it. And yes, I do agree with you. That level of imbalance is going to cost the Muggles dearly. They don't even realize that they are chasing their own tail. But I find comfort in the fact that they still don't know that we have something to do with it. Because, I mean, historically, we all know what happened in 1555. Bloody Mary. We even named a drink after her. But I wonder, Dr. Abbott, if the Muggles would ever be able to see the Chief Healer's message, even if it's in plain sight, because we goofed up. They simply won't be able to without our help, because that tentacular polyjuice potion is slowly feeding on the Muggles from the inside. They aren't even aware of it.
I agree with you, Aranya. And if Professor Scamander's alchemy is truly trapped inside the Muggle brain's thought, they are eternally suspended in language.
If we can't get an antidote, there is some solace. It's not a good one, but I mean, Professor Snape had the wolfsbane for Professor Lupin, and that wasn't tasty.
Aranya, this is way beyond that. It's going to be excruciating.
deep sorrow kind of jolts that structure of thought. We know the alchemy has this capability, right, of being coronaptic sick, but it kind of struggles when the brain or its space, wherever the space is in which it is trapped, kind of feels either deep love or deep sorrow. Deep love is hard to get because the alchemy has control over this confusion. I mean, Ouroboros is a strong alchemy. I understand why it was stolen from Professor Scamander. He could play with deep love and kind of create that delusion. I do understand the question too now, because I think in 1975, when we went back to the chief healer, he had asked a question, which comes first, perception or desire? And now I see why the Merikotka house has that key. A circle has no beginning. But if you think about this, why is thought frustrated? He just answered it, because it goes beyond its function. Thought by its very nature is fragmentary. And if its nature is, as in its sole purpose, is to be an analytical tool, analysis can give rise to synthesis, but not wholeness. So that will just be some patchwork, and thought will always be frustrated because it will keep chasing these observations that compel it to go beyond its function. And the more it erodes itself, the more it's making itself dull, which means it's losing its sensitivity. It's really hard to watch them chase their tail when it's our fault. So I was wondering if we can just jolt Ouroboros in there through deep sorrow. I know it sounds insensitive, but maybe the muggles have become dull. So they might not feel our interference. Do you think that's possible?
Aranya, let's say we stay with that function. Let's say we manage to get it done once. We jolt them. What a sorrowful event.
There is a chance that they could become sensitive again, right? No chasing, no seeking, just pure function.
I think with the way the state of affairs is with the muggles, they might get bored or feel worthless. How would you tackle that, Aranya?
Yeah, I do agree with that. Sorrow can dislodge the Ouroboros for a while, but if you don't see through sorrow, and if you don't stay with it and go past that darkness to see the light at the end of the tunnel, if you distract yourself to forget your sorrow, then you're not staying with that feeling without resistance. Like you are, that is a little tricky, I understand.
Friction is inevitable. It's going to come.
It's ingrained. It just, that's the guardrail, isn't it? That damn Ouroboros. He actually created the guardrail in there to protect himself, this distraction. So even if we jolt them with sorrow, it has to be a really deep sorrow. But at the same time, that deep sorrow, there's a fine line there. Because if the deep sorrow goes too far, then they'd fall into self-pity. And then the Ouroboros wins again. It's not like he's happy being in the brain.
Well, he isn't, but you know the history.
No. Nobody told me that history. I freaking wrote a book, a textbook, The Canon on Alchemy and Thestrals, and Professor Scamander won't even tell me how did his Ouroboros, his pet alchemy, get in there. I know it was stolen, but I don't understand how did he get in the human brain. And why would somebody take a tentacular? Why would you guys come up with this?
That story is not known to us.
And I keep asking him this question. Now he brought me back to 1965.
Goinkas is white, head is white.
So I understand how the Ouroboros is kind of ruling over the muggles. And it's unfair. They've made thought so important because, I mean, that's the job of the alchemy, right? To take up the whole space. So thought has become everything now for them. I think the chief healer also mentioned that Surun Yoki will flood and Ilon Yoki is running dry, is what he said. And that's how he comes into being every 500 years. So he's sitting at the bottom of the Surun Yoki, but then who goes and gets him? Oh, it's Mary Mitsu. He's the only diver we have. So every 500 years, due to the tears of all the war animals, the Surun Yoki starts to flood. And then it's the job of the house beast I get this piece, Dr. Rabbit, but... Oh, there you are. Oh, thank God.
So see, my dear, I spoke with Dougal, but I couldn't get Timothy. I just escaped again.
What did Dougal say, Professor?
Never mind. What were you guys talking about?
I could probably go, because I've got class.
Yes, Dr. Rabbit, thank you so much for your time. Professor Scamander, I kind of understand the story now. I mean, I guess I'm starting to see the pattern, and I also understand why you got me back to 1965. Before your Ouroboros was stolen, the Elon Yoki was flooding the world. So is that flooding good? Because a flood is a flood, right?
Yes, Susie, in a way. But Elon Yoki's flooding is different. And I will answer that question when we go to...
1976, isn't it, Professor Scamander?
Night kuan han me hen yoka karu yon satu anta nihin kamahali mika muilta ulia silmi san vain menei suta sodat joihin joituisuta.
This is a relatively short episode, and it's recorded to commemorate the 106th birth anniversary of David Bohm, which is why scene 3 was a mix of Bohm's life as well as the fictional setup around the Fraisedon School. This particular scene talks about the Merikotka house and how the Ockmi came to be the mascot of the house. And since this house is the house about thought, this particular scene was dedicated to a fundamental question of thought and a dialogue that took place in Switzerland in 1965. The plot, as part of this fictional textbook that I'm writing, this particular episode starts with this scene 3, and this is where we get the riddle to the house key, to one of the house keys. Whoever is aware of the Porter series knows the question, but we took a different spin. So the question that brings this key is, what comes first, perception or desire? And there is also the reference to the Ouroboros. That's to indicate life's continuous wave from flowering to withering away. It also has its own other meaning, but we will stick with this meaning. As part of the plot, the Ouroboros is Professor Newt Scamander's Ockmi, one of his pet Ockmis. That Ockmi was stolen from him, and that's why he keeps going back in time. Part of the fictional setup is that the wizarding world and beasts can clearly grasp the message of the chief healers, but the muggles are unable to grasp the message of the chief healer is because of a mistake that was made by the wizarding world. And that's how one wizard, who was an expert in herbology, took the tentacula and took the Ockmi, stole the Ockmi called Ouroboros, and they created a polyjuice potion and they suspended the Ockmi in the muggles' brain, and that is why muggles are unable to grasp the message. They come pretty close to the message of the chief healer, which is indicative in this particular example from 1965. Per our historical context, as you know, Susi Petonen is a student of Bohm and Newt Scamander, so she is very much involved in the dialogues that Bohm was involved in, and that's why she keeps going back in time with Newt Scamander. In this story, he was considered the chief receiver who would get the message from the healer, and how the Ockmi still set him into a loop, even though he was the closest, and he comes pretty close to understanding the message, but he misses it just by a fraction. Officially, you could consider Bohm, if you consider the whole scheme of things and this whole sarcastic textbook, Bohm would be like the founder of Merikotka, like the real founder, because everything circles around it. The reason Hufflepuffers in this case keep going back, there's also a mention of Dr. Abbott, who is Hannah Abbott, or somebody related to Hannah Abbott. There's a team of Hufflepuffers going back in time to unfold and enfold, which is a key concept, kind of saying that the more you chase, the more thought chases after a demiguise, which is also the twist here. So
if you understand Finnish, you definitely got the whole joke. But if you don't, I just want to kind of have a brief explanation. I don't want to go back and translate things for you, but I want to keep that mystery. It is a fun spin, so don't take it seriously. Over the course of other episodes, you'll see the plot thicken. It might be a boring plot, but it goes really back, like in time. But the story revolves around two characters, primarily Newt Scamander and Bohm, and the chief healer who comes up. In this particular textbook, the chief healer has come in 1895. Now, everything here is a work of fiction with some random facts. Bohm is obviously the random fact, so his connections will come up. The 1965 dialogue is a random fact. That's how things have spun up. There's also one more thing that I wanted to say is there is an emphasis to pronounce certain words a certain way. Like I will not say Bogart, I will say Bogart. Also, I say Aharonov because I want to emphasize on the aha piece, the eureka piece. Aha! There is a story that will connect Tahati Avayan. If you know Finnish, you know what Tahati Avayan means. And if you know the Potter series and if you know Finnish, then you know which character I'm talking about. There's also going to be a slight deviation from obviously the Potter world because this is my fictional book and I am self-commissioned to write the textbook. I will never get into any technical content because it'll be more like pun. In some ways, and you will have heard signal jamming come up. You will hear the signal to noise ratio come up here. You will hear a couple of things, but they won't necessarily be they won't necessarily be academic in nature. Don't expect that from this podcast anymore. It's more like a fun spin or sarcastic beasts. So I'm focusing on the beasts as characters. So the roles that they will play along my complete storyline, and the spin will be, and that's the reason I used Hannah Abbott, because the spin will not be on Harry and Dumbledore. It will be on the other two characters. I know there was an alternate theory about it, and I'm going to spin that in that direction. So just like Harry became the central character, but the actual hero could have been somebody else, in the same way Dumbledore was the decoy, we probably will come up with the main. And that's why Tahati Avayan is a key character in the story, going back to Copernicus, coming to Galileo, and then going back to Paracelsus and Austrian/Swiss. That's why the story also had a meaning, because it picked up from a place in Switzerland. Swetsi is Switzerland and Finnish. Everything surrounds this whole story. Every episode is to be seen as a chapter in the textbook, but the podcast will have a certain portion. Once I'm done with this piece and I start getting the hang of it, because like I said, this podcast is a fun project and it's dedicated to my dog Fraser, there is no fixed timeline anymore. It could come up after 2 weeks, it could come up after 2 months. The episode is supposed to be like a prelude to the chapter. At the end of this whole series, I will have a book called Sarcastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. If the chapters start getting fleshed out well enough, then they might become episodes, which is why I said I don't know the direction. 20th of December is Bohm's 106th birth anniversary, and the whole month of December is special. That will also come up because Copernicus in my story has discovered a couplet, and that couplet revolves around the months of December, October, and Feb. And there's a whole story, backstory, which I will have a separate episode just for that backstory and how that whole thing stirs up and how that leads to Copernicus. Identifying the couplet and then how that reaches to Tahati Avayan. Right now, we'll just stop there. Initially, I went down this rabbit hole about radar clutter, understanding the side lobe energies. There was this experiment that he ran about weak measurements, and since the Fraserton School remembers Bohm, this episode is specifically to commemorate that. And I will leave you. Moi moi. Naith kovan han me hen yoka karu yan satyanta nihin kamahali mika muilta ulia sil misan vain menisyttä sadat joihin joutuisyttä eilesin lehtien valheet. Eliset, yeah. Eiliset, yeah. How difficult is it to say? Eilisiin lehtiin valheit. Eiliset, yeah.
Eilisethio, Eilisethio.
Kuinka siis voit edes vaita, sä että yksinäinen oot. Jos halki kaupunkimme kuljet, ilman että silmä suljet, huomaat, että sentään lähes onnellinen oot.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Sartastic Beast and Where to Find Them. The intro and outro music is by Yaakov Goldman, courtesy of Free Music Archive.